Hello, I'm Tyler Geist with BorrowingTape.com. I am joined here today with the co-writers, directors, Charles and Thomas Gard. Thank you for joining me today. Deadshot is an incredible film.
Thank you for saying so.
You're welcome. I want to kick things off here with some of the historical context of the movie. Deadshot's a crime thriller, but I got the vibe that there was a cool, a really interesting historical backdrop at it. Can you maybe just kind of explain that for me?
Sure. Well, our film is set during the Troubles in 1975, and it begins in South Armagh, which is in Northern Ireland. There's a border ambush that goes wrong. And it sets off a chain of events that take us to London, where at the time the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, were in the middle of a very intense campaign of terror, essentially, bombings and assassinations and murders on the streets of London to give the UK a taste of what was going on in Northern Ireland at the time. And whilst that was the political, historical background of the period, our film isn't so concerned with the specifics of that. And we tried to, in the writing of the script, we were interested in looking at more universal take on it in terms of more universal ideas of revenge and redemption. And so whilst we tried to stay very authentically true to the period and to the Troubles, we kind of lifted ourselves out of two specific references to individuals or events.
Okay. All right. I do want to talk production design, because I thought you guys pulled off the 1970s so well in this part of the world. I mean, you see so many films these days where you're like, oh, that's on a soundstage. That's with green screen, whatever. They made up a city on a soundstage. But you guys, I think, pulled it off really well. Just talk to me about the production design on the film.
Well, when we were prepping the movie, we were actually about to shoot the movie before the pandemic struck, and so when we kind of ended up shooting it at the end of the pandemic, but it gave us an amazing opportunity. We started to kind of like sifting through images, and we looked at a lot of street photography, a lot of documentary photography from the time. And we also referenced a lot of movies that had been shot kind of at that time on location in the real streets. And it was fascinating. I mean, it was kind of just things started really jumping out to us in a very kind of clear way. Rubbish, having kind of junk on the streets, you know, like furniture, not just rubbish bags, but trash bags, but just crap. There were just piles of crap that were kind of people clearing stuff out, and there were fires in wastelands where bombs from the Second World War had kind of wiped out whole city blocks, and the buildings, the damaged buildings had just been cleared, but nothing had been built in its place. So you had these big muddy wastelands in the 70s where you would often get bonfires going on. You would often find lots of children just playing on the streets in the day. And they would always, you know, from the images that we looked at, they would always have, they would always be just sort of inappropriately dressed, sort of in like shorts when it was really cold, or they'd have black eyes and they'd be playing with sticks and stuff. And it was sort of, it felt like a very different world to the world that we live in now, where you would never even, you know, you would never see a child kind of, or a group of children playing without their parents or without some sort of adult supervision. So in many ways, the production design really came, it really grew out of that, this idea of the kind of a city that hadn't quite come online. It hadn't sort of made that big leap into the sort of the world that we now associate London to be, you know.
We shared a lot of those ideas with, when we got to Glasgow, and we shared them with our production designer, Tom Sayer, who just completely ran with them and nailed the realization of a lot of that stuff and brought so much to the project. He and his team were amazing in Glasgow, and had a brilliant attention to detail, down to wallpapers and everything you could imagine. It just really brought it all alive.
Yeah, everything felt very, I think the term is, everything felt very lived in. And I thought that was kind of cool. I always like seeing that in production design of any kind of movie, basically. But I love the pacing in the film. And I want to just touch on that. You know, for a film about 90 minutes long, it takes its time getting to where it needs to go, at least in that first act, act and a half, first two acts. And then, you know, it really kind of goes, I guess I could say gangbusters in the third act. Do you think the buildup in those last 30 minutes was important by the time you hit the third act?
Interesting question. I mean, we'd never really thought about it like that, but I guess we felt that there was a momentum building for sure, through the story, and the worlds of the characters and the options that were available to them became narrower and narrower, until both leads are essentially in corners. And so I suppose, yes, that requires that kind of speeding up of tension and time. You're right. It was a good question.
Thank you. Well, to kind of branch off that a little bit, you got two lead characters that are on a collision course with each other. In terms of directing their character arcs, what did you two bring to the table, and what did the actors bring to the table with crafting that?
That's another good question. There was an interesting thing. We were really interested in these two arcs, and how these two arcs kind of, how Michael's desire for revenge, his burning desire for revenge at the beginning of the film sort of thaws as the film unspools, and the sort of Tempest's, by contrast, his was sort of more, his was a different arc that seemed to kind of cross over with Michael's arc, as he begins the story obviously with this horrendous event that he feels considerable guilt for, but out of that he kind of moves towards, as you're saying, the third act, where he's fed up and he's angry and he has this burning rage to actually kind of kill Michael, because he feels such a strong sense of injustice, and so in a sense the two kind of characters cross over. I think that was very important to us when we were kind of working on the script. And then when it came to working with the actors, they were, we would talk to them about these kinds of things, but really they were amazing. They brought so much of their own personal experience to these roles, and the kind of issues of identity, and the injustice of you know, the injustices felt by people who found themselves forced into this kind of life. They were very much things that Colin and Amal really, really responded to and really kind of really took and ran with. And they were, they were absolutely amazing to work with.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about you guys for just a sec. You guys are co-directors. Now, you're not the first time I've interviewed co-directors before, but I just always like to ask, who does what on set? Are both you guys very close to the actors? Is one working with cinematography a lot more? Like, who's doing what, or who's taking on more of what?
We keep it quite open and fluid. It's the only way we can really describe it. We don't divvy up any of the roles. We're always there with the actors together, talking as a group. We're always together when we're speaking to the production designer or the cameraman or the editor, our brother Ted, on this. So there's always just an openness and a kind of spirit of collaboration that really sums up the relationship, I'd say.
Okay. In terms of filmmaking inspirations, who are your guys' go-to, and did you bring any of that to the table with making this film?
Definitely. We love the movies from the 70s, and we were really excited about kind of making this film in the spirit of those types of films. So films like The French Connection and filmmakers like Billy Friedkin and that freewheeling, immediate, spontaneous storytelling that puts audiences right on the edge of their seat. You know, that felt very much to us like it felt like a great opportunity to bring the audiences back to that type of experience.
Okay, great. I was going to, I guess I'll still ask it just in case anybody wants to elaborate here. But in closing here, what do you want audiences to take away from Deadshot?
How difficult it is to break free from cycles of violence once they start. And once you get trapped, once you get involved in those games, those cycles, it's almost impossible to break free of them, because they have very unintended consequences, which just more often than not lead to more violence, and that creates the next ripple. So it's just this never-ending cycle.
All right. Okay, great. Charles, Thomas, thank you for sitting down and talking with me. I really enjoyed the film. I've been on a bit of a binge of 70s crime thrillers, or films that take place in the 70s crime thrillers. So this was kind of a good addition to that for me personally. So I appreciate it. It's a great movie, and good luck with anything else coming down the road with it.